Do you remember the picture of my son? It won a Pulitzer Prize. The picture of him lying dead on the sidewalk at Columbine High School. His name is Daniel. My name is Brian Rohrbaugh. Did you know that the roots of the Columbine murders started back in 1967 when our Colorado lawmakers passed a law that allowed a baby to be put to death because her father was a criminal? In one evil law, they changed our country from a culture of life to a culture of death. Since that day, 50 million babies in this country have been killed through abortion. Will you stand with me? Will you stand in the place of just one of these victims? Join me as Colorado Right to Life presents the annual March for Life at the State Capitol, Saturday, January 21st at 1:30 p.m. I will share with you a story that few know. Join me, because abortion is always wrong.
Warning, warning, there's truth overhead. It gets beyond all the headlines you read. Don't need lip service with a wink and a nod. You need a man on a mission from God. Well, not to worry, here's Bob in your life.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. Well, we've talked on this show for the past few weeks about the starving to death, the intentional starving of four-year-old Dylan Walborn of Broomfield, Colorado. The Denver Post had done a major feature, 8 pages, was it? I've read it on the internet. And they described the intentional starving to death with the support of Denver's Children's Hospital of Dylan, who had severe cerebral palsy, and he had a difficult time. And of course, it is not wrong to allow a dying person to die. If someone is irreversibly dying, such that stopping blood flow in an accident could not save them, or giving them food could not save them, if someone is irreversibly dying, cancer has destroyed their body, their severe heart disease, their heart's unable to keep blood pumping through their body, they can't breathe for themselves, so their body, they're dying and it's irreversible, then it's okay to let that person die. It's not immoral to let a person die. But it is wrong to kill someone who is not dying, and there are many ways to kill people: lethal injection, suffocation, hanging, shooting, and starvation. It's wrong to starve someone to death. Colorado law outlaws euthanasia, outlaws physician-assisted suicide, but does not consider starvation to be a form of suicide or euthanasia. That's the absurdity in our law and in our medical board of examiners and their guidelines for treating the terminally ill. They say that euthanasia and physician-assisted suicide are unprofessional. They're too dangerous socially for physicians to get involved with, and we oppose that, and you should obey the law. But by the way, you could starve your patients to death because they don't consider food and water to be basic to all human beings as necessary for life. They consider it to be medical treatment, and the Colorado Board of Medical Examiners, they call food and water artificial nourishment and hydration. So that's how Children's Hospital gets away with advising the starvation of some of their kids. And that's how any number of children in Colorado and elsewhere around the country are starved to death. And the Denver Post article, basically what it accomplished is the bringing out of the closet to the public forum the age of euthanizing children in Colorado. So child euthanasia is now out of the closet in all its splendor, thanks to the Denver Post and Kevin Simpson. And one of the things that the Denver Post did very intentionally throughout is this major feature had a theme of Christianity, of religious faith, of God, a mention of Jesus Christ throughout, and they brought in a pastor, Buddy Kahn, and Kevin Simpson presented the article in a way to tell the readers that Buddy Khan, as a man of faith, a man of the cloth, a pastor of a large non-denominational church, and that, of course, implies evangelical or fundamentalist, because the large mainline churches are typically not non-denominational, that he was supportive of what happened to Buddy, and he called it God's will. And he prayed for the decision, and he was fully supportive. Well, we had a lengthy face-to-face meeting with Pastor Buddy Khan. He ministers at Victory Church, Denver's Victory Church, although they're in what, Broomfield, is it? No, Westminster, about 120th and Sheridan. And Buddy Khan is the care pastor there. And also at the meeting was their senior pastor of Victory Church, Michael Ware. And I was there along with Leslie Hanks, who is vice president of Colorado Right to Life. And I am convinced, and if I could speak for Leslie Hanks, she was convinced that Pastor Khan was completely unaware of and did not support the parents' decision to stop feeding their son. Now, that we need to talk through that, and since many of you in the audience have read the Denver Post article, and you'll be thinking, well, how could that possibly be? Did Kevin Simpson simply fabricate the whole thing, make up the whole story? Well, he quoted Buddy Khan at some length, and what I'll do is go through some of those quotes and give you the account that Buddy Khan gave to us and that I've been convinced is true, and the degree to which – now, Kevin Simpson, the reporter for the Denver Post, he will not answer our questions. I've called him repeatedly. He won't return calls. Leslie Hanks did speak with Kevin prior to our meeting with Pastor Khan, and Kevin, for the most part, would not answer her questions. He would only say that he stands by the story. So the quotes from Buddy Khan, the particulars he reported, he maintains that they're accurate. Of course he would, right? And so we'll go through those details. But before that, I want to say that I apologize. I said this on the show yesterday, and it's on the internet at our website, dylanwalborn.com. I apologize to Pastor Khan and Pastor Ware and to Victory Church for not contacting Buddy prior to accepting the story in the Denver Post. Now, since Kevin Simpson will not answer our questions, there are still questions remaining, but in my mind, they're not questions for Michael Ware or Pastor Khan. They're questions for the Denver Post. And Pastor Michael Ware has committed to making an effort to correct the false public record as established by the Denver Post that Pastor Buddy lends his credibility to euthanizing children and supported the starvation death of Dylan Walborn. So we're eager to see that as somehow a publicly published correction. And hopefully the Denver Post will publish such a correction in a letter to the editor. We will see. Okay. Now, the article, if you look at the subtitle of the entire article, all right, it's called Letting Go, Dylan's Last Days. Letting Go, Dylan's Last Days. And the subtitle is Two Parents Face an Agonizing Test of Faith and Love for Their Son. Now, notice faith is introduced before the article even begins. It's in the subtitle. And there is this theme throughout the article that this was a test of faith. And, you know, faith and mercy, they go together. And love and compassion. And that when someone is just suffering too much, you kill them. You starve them to death. And so in the section of the article titled The Decision, that is the decision to starve Dylan to death, the handicapped four-year-old boy. The section titled The Decision is the one that introduces Pastor Buddy. So Kevin Simpson is implying that Pastor Buddy was fundamentally involved in the decision. And when I get to the quotes that he attributes to Buddy, you'll hear them and think, well, there's no question. Buddy had to be, he just had to be a part of the decision process, and he had to concur. He had to agree. But we'll talk through that. Okay, so here's how it goes. The decision, and then the subtitle of the section, Dave and Carrie, the parents, seek the guidance of faith and doctors who know their son. They seek the guidance of faith, so that's Pastor Buddy, that they're going to him for guidance, and the doctors who know their son, that was Denver's Children's Hospital. So Kevin Simpson writes that Dave and Carrie, the mom and dad, asked for a meeting. And a little past 8 a.m., October 18th, Buddy Kahn came calling at Carrie's apartment. Together they prayed. And Pastor Buddy, on the staff of a large non-denominational congregation, knew Carrie and Dave from previous hospital visits in which he'd prayed with them and Dylan. Now, Pastor Buddy says he certainly doesn't recall meeting the father before this, if even the mother. He's the care pastor at a large church and frequently makes hospital visits to people he doesn't even know, relatives or friends of church members. And so, okay, so Pastor Buddy was there. He prayed with them. And this time he asked the Lord to give the parents clear understanding of what they were supposed to do later that day. He did not presume to know the answer. Now, Kevin Simpson, as he writes this lengthy story, Dylan was starved to death over a period of 24 days, and he was in on the story from before the starvation began through to after Dylan was dead. And it's not always clear whether he's witnessing the things that he's describing or not. So you might almost think that he was there on October 18th when Pastor Buddy came there. But in fact, this information, this was an interview about Pastor Buddy from when Dylan died, apparently 24 days after they started starving him, when Kevin Simpson was on the phone talking to Pastor Buddy. Kevin Simpson called Buddy Kahn, and Buddy learned that Dylan died from the reporter. And then Buddy went right over to the home, of course, being concerned. And even there, that's a bit interesting because normally reporters are not the ones orchestrating the events. And then he reports the drama. The pastor is sitting in faded jeans, cross-legged on the floor in the room where Dylan's body is. But so Kevin Simpson, you know, he had a role in orchestrating this story to some degree. And so when he's reporting on what Pastor Buddy did a few weeks earlier, he's not getting that information that day when Pastor Buddy went to the apartment, but weeks later. And so they're on the phone, and Kevin Simpson asks Buddy, so what happened that day? Did you pray with the parents? Did you pray with them regarding they're going to go and get counsel on the treatment of their son who's so handicapped and suffering? And he said, yes, I did. This is Buddy. Of course, I prayed that God would give the parents clear understanding of what they were supposed to do. They were going to the hospital, and I didn't know I didn't know the details, but I was praying for them. So Buddy says, and I believe him, our meeting was an hour and a half, and we asked him many questions, some questions that were hard to ask. you know, sort of prying about his integrity and honesty. And he was extremely forthright and seemed awfully sincere. And he said, I had no idea they were going to Children's Hospital to make a decision whether or not to euthanize Dylan. I had no idea. I am completely against euthanasia. In fact, Pastor Michael Ware is strongly pro-life. He led rescues in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and he told us, we didn't know this, but he told us that he spent a couple years of pro-life activist work and eventually closed down a couple abortion clinics in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and also worked to do the same in New Orleans. And Pastor Michael Ware and Buddy Kahn said, we are absolutely pro-life. We believe in the sanctity of life, that if you kill one, you're attacking all. And that it is wrong to starve to death someone. That's not how you deal with suffering. You don't euthanize. You don't do mercy killing on children, handicapped children. They were as clear as could be. And they also indicated that they have since stated to the grandparents that what happened to Dylan was wrong and that they would never counsel anyone to starve to death a handicapped child. So then Kevin Simpson goes on with the reporting and he says that Pastor Buddy prayed for Dylan. And then he quotes Buddy in a couple sentences. And this is the part that absolutely, when you read the article, you think there's no question at all. Buddy was involved on the decision, in the decision. He quotes Buddy as saying this, Mom just wanted to know, boy, have I fought the good fight? Have I finished the race? She felt she had. She's a believer, so she leans on God for her day-to-day guidance. I believe God gave her an answer in the afternoon. Now, we pressed Buddy on this and Pastor Ware because Pastor Ware was telling the world that he had looked into this and Buddy is not guilty of doing what the Denver Post and what we had been accusing of him of because we took the Denver Post reporting at face value. And Buddy Kahn said, this is when Dylan had died. I'm on the phone with Kevin Simpson and I was stating that Mom tried her best with her child. He had no idea they euthanized him, no idea they starved him to death, and they were looking for guidance, and he believed they got guidance. Now, he overspoke, right? Pastor Buddy did overspeak. We have to be careful what we attribute to God. And he said, I believe God gave her an answer, and he didn't know what the question was. He didn't know that they had decided to starve Dylan to death. So if these quotes are accurate, and Buddy could not recall, now this is months later, and he didn't learn that Dylan had been starved to death until late December. Now, that's hard to believe, right? The article came out December 18th. That was the day he left for a vacation for about 2 weeks. Well, he came back late December, and he found emails from our audience and people involved with Colorado Right to Life and read the article and was stunned and devastated that he was misrepresented the way he was in the Denver Post. And so Kevin Simpson quotes Pastor Buddy Kahn, as I just read to you, and the very next sentence says, that's when Carrie and Dave drove to Children's Hospital. And then we have the strong discussion about euthanizing Dylan. That's what the guidance was all about. And they explicitly, Children's Hospital, confirmed, yes, we agree, it's ethical, it's moral, it's merciful, it's right to starve Dylan to death. So we pray that when Victory Church makes their public statement to correct the record, because, of course, the Denver Post has many more readers than Bobignart Live has listeners, that the Denver Post will print that so that it will not remain permanently on the record that a pastor at a large non-denominational church supported killing Dylan Walborn, starving him to death. Because the euthanasia movement wants that. They want Christians to support euthanasia. And starving people to death is, you know, that's one of the methods of euthanizing them, of killing them, even though Colorado's law pretends that starving someone to death is not a form of euthanasia. It's not a form of physician-assisted suicide. So if you have a handicapped child, you could starve the child to death. And that's legal. Is that bizarre? That's just tragically bizarre. So then the article, at the part of the article titled Let Go, this is the part when Dylan dies after 24 days of no food. 24 days of no food. We read by Kevin Simpson, Pastor Buddy Kahn sits cross-legged on the living room floor in faded jeans, a long-sleeve t-shirt, and a blue baseball cap, helping them organize their thoughts on final arrangements for Dylan. We know he's safe now, says pastor. The pastor assures them and is asked to do the funeral. And so the article gives the impression that the entire issue was a matter of faith, affirmed from beginning to end by the pastor, the care pastor, no less. And as we've referred to Buddy, the children's pastor, for a short time he was at Victory Church, children's pastor, the care pastor. And of course, a care pastor who goes to the hospital to help and comfort those who are ill needs to know that you don't starve a sick person to death. And Buddy Kahn knows that and does not equivocate in the least. Wow. And then there's also tragic quotes and in the article about the grandparents and being confused about the issue of the grandmother, whether or not to starve Dylan to death, and she's supporting her daughter and then has doubts. And it's just it's so devastating, so absolutely devastating. So now that's the record as best we can make it. Now, the grandparents also attend Victory Church, and so their role in the story is also tragic, and they should have gone to Pastor Mike Ware, to Buddy, and said, this is what's happening, and please help us. And they should have done everything they could to stop it, everything they could, including, of course, getting the counsel and advice and help from their church. And so that's simply tragic. All right. So our phone number here, we're almost out of time, though, but 1-800-8-NYART, if you want to get in on the last couple minutes of the show, 800-836-9278, 1-800-836-9278. Now, we have Samuel Alito, who's in hearings today, and he is a full-blown legal positivist, just full-blown, as he's made clear in these hearings, as he's made clear in virtually all of his rulings as a federal judge in the last 15 years, ruling on the abortion side of case after case after case. And we've got our national pro-life Christian leaders lobbying for him to be confirmed. And you have to wonder, is it because in 1995, Alito voted to keep it easy to get a tax-funded abortion by claiming rape, even when no crime had been reported to police? Or is it because in 97, Alito voted to prevent parents from suing for the wrongful death of their unborn child, ruling that our laws cannot give any protection for the unborn. I mean, these are extremist pro-abortion decisions. And in the year 2000, Alito voted to keep legal partial birth abortion. And of course, all this for process reasons. If he's pro-life, then he lets process trump thou shalt not murder. Let's go to Greeley, Colorado. David, welcome to Bob and Yurt Live.
Hi, Bob. I just wanted to support you and thank you for all the work you've done, and keep up the good work.
I really appreciate that, David. Thank you so much.
I listen to you every day, and now I'm starting to download your shows from the website.
Oh, I'm just thrilled. Thanks, David. God bless you.
Keep up the good work.
Thanks. Hey, for people who do download the shows, you know, we had to mention the call from Daryl a few shows ago saying that the podcast of Bob and Yurt Live are so convenient. You go to Bob and Yurt Live, you click on podcast, and if you use iTunes, if you use Yahoo's podcast service, Bob and Yurt Live is on virtually all the major podcasting directories. And it's so easy, and therefore you automatically get the show delivered to you every day. So you just don't have to go through the process of downloading it. And also now we're live streaming on the internet. So for those who live out of state, and by the way, the streaming, it seems to be fabulous. The quality of the streaming, and it just seems great. So we encourage you now to let your friends know, relatives, maybe a couple of your enemies, let them know that no matter where they live in the country, and other countries too, but especially in America, they can tune in to Bob and Yurt Live. That's 5 o'clock Eastern time. Just go to kgov.com, kgov.com, and click on Listen Live, and they're listening. So not only are we on the most powerful Christian radio station in all of America, the 50,000-watt AM 670 KLTT, but also we're on the most powerful internet in the whole world. It's called the World Wide Web. So we'll do our best to continue to get the word out. So with the whole story about Pastor Buddy Kahn and Leslie Hanks and I, you know, in believing the Denver Post at face value, and we both are very aware that the media will get things wrong frequently and especially misrepresent Christians. So we're very aware of that. And we went to this meeting prepared to talk through and to get at the truth. And so what? Well, I had an important point to make, but Pops played the music. So I'll have to postpone that. Hey, we're out of time. Maranatha Christian Center in Arvada. Simply the best Christian school I've ever seen. Check it out. Maranatha at 72nd and Oak in Arvada. And that's where Denver Bible Church meets. So come on out this Sunday morning or Sunday evening.